speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. It is a privilege to be with you all today and to serve a congregation that has nourished and fed my soul for many years, a place that has also served me. Today's gospel tells us, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This scripture is diversely rich in its meaning, conveying the fundamental facts of our Christianity and naming what Jesus did for us. Jesus came not to serve, came not to be served, but to serve. And to die for God's people. I imagine that this verse could mean so much and be manifested by many different people of many cultures, ethnicities, ages, gender, socio-demographics. So I decided to ask around and see if there was a common thread among those who like sit in our beautifully diverse congregation. What the passage meant to them. I asked a 13-year-old boy what the passage, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for the ransom of many, meant to him. He said, it's about helping others before you help yourself. A 46-year-old single father said, it means Jesus is the Lamb that was slaughtered for ransom, ransoming our sins. So now Jesus is the owner of our sins. People are always going to do horrible things, but Jesus saved us from our own evil. Sounds like somebody went to Sunday school. I asked a priest in his 60s, and he said, we are God's conduit. His hands and feet here on earth. A woman in her 70s said the most powerful and revered man, Jesus, even serves the lowliest. Finally, for giggles, I asked the all-knowing Mother Google what she thought. She had a much longer explanation than you can imagine, so I'll keep it brief. This part emphasizes that Jesus, despite his divine nature, came to earth not to be waited on or obeyed, but to serve others. It challenges the common notion of authority and power, suggesting that true leadership is about giving, not taking. End quote. Now, does any of that sound familiar or relative to your own interpretation of this? For me, this profound piece of scripture humbles and humanizes the divine, and it affirms my call to preach the gospel to a broken world that God has created and saved. The writing of this verse exposition also tells me that no matter who we are or where we're from, we are one of God's beloved children. And God speaks to all of humanity in a language that we can understand, not just to our ears, but he speaks to our souls. And God's language is love. God is calling us to love and serve our neighbor, no matter how different we may seem to be. Following Jesus' model, we must recognize that servanthood means making sacrifices, facing challenges, and even suffering. The messages in Mark chapter 10 suggest that Jesus unveiled a crucial truth about leadership. True greatness is not about power, standing, or self-promotion, but rather it is about humility and a willingness to sacrifice for others. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to be servants and not masters. In today's story, for us, like James and John, it can be hard to set ourselves aside and easy for us to live life like a race, desiring to be first. Picture this. Two marathon runners approach the final finish. And the runner who is ahead, probably having training for months, if not years, surely to win trips and falls. The runner behind them has a choice to breathe past and take the victory for themselves. But what if the stable runner stops, helping the fallen runner's victory and thus sacrificing their own goals of winning? When we slow down and stop to serve others, putting ourselves last, we put God and our neighbors first. This is servanthood in a world full of competition and urgency to be number one. Even in the ancient time of the gospel, the culture is competitive, just like we have today. James and John upset the other 10 by seemingly trying to get ahead by asking Jesus to sit with them in his glory. And they are, in some sense, putting themselves first and seeking status and recognition to be first. But Jesus says, whoever among you wants to be first must be your servant. And whoever among you wants to be the greatest must be slave of all. So what do we do when we feel like we're already spent and we've given all we can? I envision a scenario of a busy father or mother of four having slaved all day, and they just sat down on the couch to take a breath and are quickly interrupted by one of their ignoring children begging for their attention. Haven't they done enough? Did they make it to themselves? Or they are tired and worn down and in desperate need of self-care. But you know what? They can't find a way and they can't see their child. Why is that? Because of the love that a parent has for their child. Just like the love that God has for us. God did and does bless us and serve us always. Feeding us with the bread of heaven, and when we, the people of Israel, didn't have enough, when we couldn't stop sinning and taking, he gave again and more. The ultimate sacrifice by sending his only son, the Son of Man, to give his life for the ransom of many. Jesus died for us, for our sins, so that we may be forgiven, and so that we do not run out of spiritual fuel and perish due to our human inadequacy. So in calling us to serve God, we are asked to put ourselves last and to give our love, time, money, and resources to the service of others. We may not be asked to literally die in the name of Jesus, but we can sacrifice our lives for the betterment of God's people. We do this through our stewardship to one another. And by sacrificing the me time and giving to our community, we glorify God. We sit next to him in his glory, and God sits 360 degrees around us. And you may be wondering, Caroline, how can I serve? What should I be sacrificing? And isn't Lent not until February? Lent is certainly a holy and sacred time to dedicate ourselves to giving up earthly pleasures. But it is also a time to take things on. For starters, by showing up on Sunday, offering and participating in fellowship, spending time in prayer for others. This is a huge sacrifice when we consider the extent of our busy lives. Many of us, I'm sure, may prefer to be sleeping in, or going to brunch, or staying in our PJs, binge-watching a television series on But today, you've chosen to be here, worshiping and sustaining the kingdom of God, listening to a humble seminarian who may be approaching 12 minutes out of your day with his sermon. What may seem like a small action or decision can really make a huge impact in your community. Whether it's joining a new committee or ministry, offering your spare time to help a friend in need, or even reading a bit more patiently while you wait for your morning coffee, and offer a smile and neighborly greeting to the cashier, rather than anxiously communicating your urgent order. These even small acts of kindness and love and tactful care to others encourages us to put ourselves last and God first. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Soon, we will come to God's table for Holy Communion. We will drink from the cup of salvation, a communal cup that symbolizes the promise of eternal life. And we will be refreshed with the Holy Spirit as we begin another week. We are the receivers of the greatest gift to God's creation. So let us be thankful. And as we receive, let us first give by serving that creation, and by giving up ourselves to his service, and by walking before him in holiness and righteousness all our days. Whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen.
Amen.